please stand as you are able and join me in saying the prayers on page one of your bulletin? Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of every good gift, look graciously on our church and so guide the minds of those who shall choose a rector for this parish, that we may receive a faithful pastor who will care for your people and equip us for our ministries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, you have journeyed with your people Israel. We pray you, journey with us now, in this time of Episcopal transition and change. Walk beside us on the road that is ahead. Calm our fears, awaken our hope, and open our hearts as together we seek your guidance. Inspire us and those appointed to search for candidates to discern your will for the Diocese of Michigan. May we put our whole trust in you as we look to Christ, the great shepherd of our souls, who together with the Holy Spirit is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen.
Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Your greatest gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue, without which whoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
Good morning. The first reading comes from the book of Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty, and bekissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Deliver them because they seek refuge in me.
The second reading comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are in heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you could do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you give back. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." I think this is the whole purpose of the gospel today. Love thy enemy. That is probably one of the most difficult things Jesus asks of us. How do we love our enemy? We live in a world of do unto others as they screw us, we'll screw them back. And that's not the way to live. And I was raised, my mother was from the South, on the old country songs. They did me wrong songs. You know those well. You kind of let it just percolate and grow inside of you. So the anger grows until you become that anger. I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's a story of forgiveness. Because in order to love our enemy, we must learn to forgive. Eva Kaur and her twin sister both miraculously survived Auschwitz and the infamous Dr. Josef Mengele. And at one point, at the end of her life, Eve forgave the Nazis. When it was spring of 1944, Eve Kaur, along with her twin sister Miriam and her mother, arrived at the camp Auschwitz. They were from Hungary. They had owned a farm. Her dad and her siblings all were taken and mother to Auschwitz. And when the train arrived at the station, a guard yelled, "Twins, twins!" And a few moments later, Eve and her sister Miriam were taken away from their mother, who they never saw again. Eve grew, survived that, and I'll tell you more about it. And 60 years later, at 71, with her tattoo still on her forearm of A7063. She lived to tell the tale, and she forgave Dr. Mengele. This comes without a story. After being selected among the new arrivals, the sisters were brought to the now infamous camp doctor, Joseph Mengele. He had a standing order for twins. He needed them for medical experiments. He would inject one twin with poison or with bacteria and then document how that disease developed and the onset of death. After that person twin would die, the other twin would be immediately murdered, usually with an injection in the heart. And then they would perform autopsies to see what the difference was and how that disease affected the bodies. There were 1,400 pairs of twins who were fell victim to Mengele's barbaric experiments. That's 2,800 children. And this was done with the core twins. Eve was injected with bacteria. But thanks to an iron will and a strong immune system, Eve survived the disease that Mengele had injected into her veins. She said, "I kept thinking, if I die, then Miriam will be murdered as well." So they both survived. On January 27, 1945, the Soviet Red Army liberated the survivors of Auschwitz. They immigrated to Israel, the two girls. Eva eventually moved to the United States. She started her own family and it was a real estate broker. Miriam apparently had also received an injection, which they have no idea what it was, but later in life she had kidney failure. And Eva donated one of her kidneys to save her, but it could not stop the illness. And in 1993, Miriam died in Israel. But since then, Eva's story became one of forgiveness and personal healing. But it also caused much controversy. She is a woman who made peace with those who exterminated her family and who tried to exterminate her. After her sister's death, very soon after, Eve flew to Germany to meet with a German doctor, Hans Munch. He had worked alongside Mengele in Auschwitz. And after World War II, he was faced with war crimes but was found not guilty because he never did an experiment on anyone. So Eva decided to go visit him. She was incredibly nervous, but she said she was met by an elderly gentleman with snow-white hair, a carefully trimmed beard, and a shy smile when he opened the door. He admitted that he had been there and he had seen the gassings. He went on to say he still suffers from depression and nightmares as a result of what he saw. Eva said she went to looking for a monster, but found a human being instead. After she returned home, she wrote a letter to Munch, a letter in which she forgave him. But she went further than that. In January 1955, at the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, Eva Kaur brought Munch along. And on the snow-covered site of the former extermination camp, she read a confession of guilt from Munch to the gathered press. She saw it as an important statement from an eyewitness that could be used to contradict those who would ever deny that the Holocaust happened. But then she went further. She said, "In my own name, I forgive all Nazis. In my own name, I forgive all Nazis." Others that were part of the prisoners were horrified. They didn't feel she had a right to forgive them. And many of them avoided her the rest of her life. The pain and anger that they went through was just too deep. They asked, "Can you really forgive pure evil?" But Eva said, she knows she did the right thing. She felt an incredible heavy weight of suffering had been lifted from her. She didn't think she could be that strong. She says because she was able to forgive her worst enemies, she was finally able to free herself from being a victim. She also said forgiveness does not mean forgetting. She said, but the best thing about forgiveness is there's no side effects. Eva was an incredible woman. It took a lot of courage to be able to forgive. And that's what it means to love your enemy. It means to see beyond the horrors of their actions, to find the humanity maybe deeply implanted within them. To be able to say, God, somehow there must be a light in them, and I must forgive them because you asked me to. And sometimes we're asked not to forgive in such big ways, but maybe in our life there have been people who have done us wrong. It may be a sibling. It may be a parent. It may be a best friend. But often in our life we're asked to forgive. And it's not easy. Because there's a tendency within us to hold grudges or to not forget and to ruminate within that misery. And yet, to be able to forgive is to be able to become free. Because in that, we become bitter and angry and miserable people. Within that anger that we carry, that hatred, there is something that changes within us. Martin Luther King said, "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the ability to forgive is devoid of the power of love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies." So how do we do this? Eva had the strength within her. We have to ask God for that strength. I remember a teaching I had long ago, and it has really stayed with me, and I try to live by it, that when somebody who makes me mad enters my head, I send a prayer for them. To God, will you just bless them? Or God, will you help me forgive them? Or God, will you help them open their eyes to be different or to see different? And that prayer that I say has changed me because I gave that anger over in a different way to God. That's a different way of living. When somebody cuts me off, I send a prayer for safety for them and those who come close to them. No, because as a clerical, one's not able to lift a finger. So one must do something to recognize those who upset us. But it's about the power of prayer, about asking God to help us to learn how to forgive. And when we're at that point that we can't forgive, then we turn it to God and we say, God, I'm struggling, but I give this to you. And ask you to be the intercessor for me of forgiveness. Because that's when we're free to love. Otherwise, we could end up in our old age, being angry, miserable, bitter people. And that's not what God calls us to be. God calls us to be free. It is said that not only do enemies need love, we have a need to love our enemy. It is only in such love will we prevent hate from growing and fostering and destroying both of us. It is only in love that will prevent hate from growing and fostering and destroying both of us. It is not about what they did to us, but what God is asking us to do for them. Forgiveness isn't easy. Loving our enemy isn't easy. But you know, if you do read the teachings of Jesus, there wasn't one thing he asked of us that, if we're really honest, is easy. But that's what living a Christian life is for. It's to teach us a way to overcome our own angst and to become free, to give love, to share God's light in the world, and to become the best possible person that God wants us to be. That's what forgiveness is for. It's not for them, it's for us. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
God has called us out of darkness into the glorious light of the Son. Through the waters of baptism, we are called to be God's children and to minister to one another. Let us therefore pray for ourselves, for one another, and for all those in need of our prayers, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, for Wendell, our bishop, Donald, the ELCA bishop, and Stuart, our retired bishop, for all ministers, lay and ordained, and for our clergy, Mary Jane. We pray for this gathering, for all people, and for the church, especially St. Stephen's Wyandotte, Christ the Savior Santiago Dominican Republic, and Church of the Resurrection Clarkston. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the Church, that it may stand fast in the one faith to which it has been called.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
For all nations, that the worth of every life may compel those in authority to solidarity and peace. For those in positions of public trust, especially Donald Trump, the President of the United States, and for the members of Congress, we pray.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the world, that our conflicts may cease and that peace may reign.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for all who are blind to the injustices of our world, that their eyes may be opened and that they will work for an end to oppression and injustice.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the hungry and homeless, that food and shelter might be theirs.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially for those we now name either silently or aloud. Mike. Inspire us to care for your gifts of healthy bodies and minds.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those celebrating birthdays or anniversaries, that their days may be filled with your love and blessings. We pray for those we now name either silently or aloud. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
For those whom we remember who have gone before us, especially for those we now name either silently or aloud. Vic, Jane, Mary. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
As we are faithful in prayer, O God, so make us faithful in following you, that loving and serving you all the days of our lives, we may know you more fully. We ask this in your holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins to our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace. 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 Pe
We invite you to continue this wonderful fellowship afterwards in our coffee hour. Walk in love as God loves you.
The Lord hides me in the shelter of his tent.
give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we
remember his death.
We proclaim his
resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body and of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
Be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
One bread which we break.
Thank you.
please stand as you're able? Prayer after communion is found on the last page of your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty
and heavenly God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him and to you and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the announcement.
Good morning. This is just a reminder that Shrove Tuesday is not far away. It's just a week from Tuesday, so please buy your tickets today or next week for the pancake supper. It'll be from 5 to 7. Tickets are $4 for children, $6 for adults, and $20 for a family. And there is a sign-up sheet if you would like to be a volunteer and help in any capacity. Also, we are looking for strong, able-bodied people to take about 10 minutes of your time right after church today to help bring everything down from the attic that we need for the pancake supper. So if you can do that and meet us in Yeoman Hall, we would appreciate it. One more note, since Shrove Tuesday isn't far away, St. Patrick's Day isn't far away either. So on Friday, March 15th, join us also for the Corned Beast Feast. We'll be serving corned beef, potatoes, a beverage, cookies, your whole dinner for $10. Tickets for that will go on sale next week.
Good morning. Just a reminder to St. Teresa's Guild, we're meeting tomorrow night in the lounge at 7 o'clock.
It's the fourth Sunday again, so the shop is open. Come and browse around and see what you can find. And also, please save your brown paper bags. We're running very short. If you have any right now, if you could bring them in, it would be a big help. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Bill Davenport, your friendly vestry representative this morning. And as such, I'd like to invite you to coffee and conversation in Yeoman Hall right after the service. And I will be there. If there's any questions you have of the vestry, I will either get an answer for you or find someone who can answer.
Good morning. Bill Ball, a member of the search committee, 11 members, reporting progress. We're holding meetings. We are holding meetings regularly every Thursday for the moment. We're planning for activities going forward, and we're also at this point preparing questions. It's been a long trek. It started back in, I was looking this morning, in May of 2017, and we're getting very close. The announcement, we posted our profiles on the OTM site on February the 8th. The site will be closed on March the 8th, and we should be processing and interviewing candidates starting in March. So we're making progress. Thank you.
So that will be a week that's coming Wednesday. We will have two services that day. There will be one at noon and one at 7. So please join us. And the following Thursday, not that Thursday, but the next, we'll start our Lenten series. We'll have soup, and then we'll have this, we'll have a movie that we'll be seeing parts of, and we'll have discussion after. So I think it should be quite enlightening and quite lively. So hopefully, if it's a soup, I'm dealing with death, so hopefully we'll have some light in it. It should be quite good. So please plan on joining us this kind of sheet. Are there any birthdays this week? Oh, come on. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray you, on your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Do we have any anniversaries? If not, we'll hold those in prayer.
Thank you. He's in just south of
my wife.
That's
the Bible Belt, Jean.
Yeah.
People go to church there. I have heard.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
that's cool.
Welcome back. Well, thank you.
I wonder if he ever sees Karen. She was the